Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. And as we do every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing well, gents. How are you doing this morning?
We are doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Charles, let's start with the Titans. Obviously, a big win against the Chiefs 6 days after a big win against the Bills. What have you learned about this group over the last week with two big wins in the AFC? And spinning it to Kansas City's point of view, how concerned are you at this point about the Chiefs and what we've seen so far out of them so far, 3-4 on the season?
Well, that was a stunner, I'll be honest with you. I thought if there was ever a secondary that was going to get taken advantage of by the Chiefs, it was, you know, Tennessee's banged up. But what I did learn is you get Bud Dupree on the field, Harold Landry, you know, you get Danico Autry playing the way that, you know, I think they hoped he would play when they brought him in. This defense has got a chance to be a lot better, you know, be the front that can hassle quarterbacks, and I think that could change things dramatically for them. So, the first half, especially Ryan Tannehill, I mean, unbelievable. It was about as close to perfection as I think I had seen out of him. And, Tennessee's got, they got sand. It's people there have to be really, really happy with, you know, just seeing resiliency in teams that suffer injuries and, you know, have a couple of unfortunate losses. Tennessee's definitely hung in there. And I've told people all season long, things are so wide open right now, both in the AFC and NFC. I mean, obviously the Arizona Cardinals are undefeated, but beyond the Arizona Cardinals, every single week we're spinning a bottle and trying to look at who's the best team in the AFC, who's the, you know, team in the NFC that's going to, you know, press the Arizona Cardinals by the end of the season. I think you have to factor Tennessee now. And look, as far as Kansas City goes, I think the front end of the I think that offensive line is not quite, it hasn't gelled the way that I think they had hoped. They added to the talent, you know, Orlando Brown. I think it's a little concerning the way that he's playing right now. I think sometimes Patrick Mahomes, when he plays off script, it makes it difficult for that line to block him at times, but some of it falls on the line too. I think teams have figured out that if you can slow down Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce isn't going crazy, you're going to end up in situations where Patrick Mahomes is going to be he's going to be aggressive. But that's always been who he's been. I think if people go back and look at him at Tech, he was a hero ball kind of guy that got used to putting teams on his shoulders and really pressing his way back into games if it was a situation like it was Sunday. I think if you're Kansas City, the one thing you say is you have a meeting immediately afterward and you go, okay, that hit he took, we have to talk to Pat about that. We have to talk about the offensive line about that. We've talked to everybody about that because that could have ended the guy's season. That could have been something that could have dramatically affected his career if it had gone the wrong way. I mean, anything head and neck like that. And you just can't have that happen ever again. Do I think the Chiefs have the talent to still get this together, still be a playoff team? Yeah, I do. I'm not going to panic, you know, to that point. But I think if they had lost to a bad team like this, it would have been different. Tennessee is not a bad team.
So we've been kind of talking AFC this week, Charles, and just the, like I said, very wide open, hard to, I mean, I'm watching the Bengals go in and just rain, you know, fire on the Ravens, and yeah, every week there's something wacky that happens, but I'd just like to know how many teams do you buy as a contender to win the AFC, and who would they be right at this moment?
That's a good question. I'd have to say, you know, look, I buy Buffalo. The AFC North, the problems with Baker Mayfield, I think that's going to be all season long. So I think it's going to weigh on Cleveland. I still think Cleveland could be a, you know, playoff caliber team. I just don't know if you have season long quarterback problems, I don't know if I would put you in contender status to win the AFC. So I'd say Baltimore. Cincinnati, yeah, I got to put a Cincinnati in that equation. I think they're real. When you watch them, they're a little bit better defensive team than I think people realize. And then offensively, the skill positions around Joe Burrow are very, very good. Joe Burrow's playing out of his mind right now. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. It's a real team. So I'd have to put Cincinnati in that. I think Tennessee's proven it. We've seen back-to-back weeks. Look, you beat the teams that Tennessee's beaten. And again, I think the AFC's wide open. I think Tennessee's got to be factored. And then, you know, the AFC West is a little tougher. The Chargers definitely. And I will say this about the Raiders. I thought when the Gruden thing went down, I was like, okay, this is the cliff. This is where they fall apart. It's where they unravel. They've kind of done the opposite, and they've done the opposite in a way that I think is gives them traction through the rest of the season in that Derek Carr, I think, has stepped up. Once Gruden was out the door, Derek Carr stepped up as a leader. You kind of read what people are saying about him. You talk to people who know Carr and are on the inside of that team, and they'll tell you that between Carr and Waller, they've had some guys really step up in that locker room in a way that's significant. And weirdly enough, I think some of them feel like some pressure's off because, you know, Rich Bisaccia is just a different kind of coach than John Gruden. And they've gelled a little bit. Carr's playing at a really, really high level, and that's been a guy who historically I've not wanted to give a lot of credit to, but I can't do it anymore. He's playing really well. So I think you have to factor in Vegas. So how many teams I just named there? The Chiefs.
The whole playoff field, basically.
I mean, that's what this season is. That's why this is such a great. I think this is such a great product for the NFL, because some people will say, well, it's parody and it stinks, and I like knowing that every year it's going to be the Chiefs and whoever Tom Brady's playing for. Well, that's not how it's going to be now, and I think we've gone through this process every week of being like, well, now it's this team in the AFC is the best, and then they lose. And now it's this team. We just keep rotating through. So I tend to believe that's why this trade deadline is important. But after making calls and talking to a bunch of GMs, I don't think anything's going to happen. Like, I think it's just everybody's talking about rolling salary into next year, and it sounds like it's going to be a pretty quiet trade deadline. I know everybody's talking about Watson right now, but I just don't know if there are going to be a bunch of huge trades at the deadline. It's going to be another quiet one.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Charles, you did bring up what was going to be my next question. What do you think happens with Deshaun Watson? Does anything happen with Deshaun Watson over the next week with the trade deadline November 2nd, next Tuesday?
It's look, a couple of things. I see a lot of reporters like jamming teams into it. Like, first off, Denver. If somebody mentions Denver, you can go ahead and immediately know that person doesn't know what they're talking about, because Denver's out of this. Denver's not involved. Okay, it's not involved. Not going to be involved. Denver's out of this. So, Philadelphia. Okay, Philadelphia, I think, is involved in the sense of Howie Roseman's always involved in everything. He's always asking questions about every potential trade. He always wants to know the price and, you know, what are people offering for this player or that player. I don't know that Philadelphia would be involved unless Deshaun Watson was like, hey, I'm waiving my no trade clause to Philadelphia. I really want to go there. Then I think Philadelphia might get a little more aggressive. I think it's coming down to Miami and Carolina. And I think that basically the Houston Texans are sitting there and they're saying, well, Carolina has less to offer. We're not going to get Miami's going to have the better offer on the table. Carolina might have the lesser offer. However, we would like to send him to Carolina. We'd like to get him into the NFC. We don't want to send him to Miami, because that's him essentially dictating exactly where he wants it to go with the worst possible set of circumstances off the field. And then also on the field, he's just completely revolted against our franchise, doesn't want anything to do with us, and now we're sending that guy to exactly where he's wanted to go all along. I think, I still think Miami's got the inside track. I think the offer is going to have to be pretty close to the full price offer they want, which is 3 firsts and 2 seconds. but I see reports out there that I can't verify. So I've seen, for example, well, he's open to going to all these different teams. I have not heard that. And not only have I not heard that, I'm talking to other teams involved in this, and they have not heard that. So when you talk to teams that are pursuing him or at least asking, and you're like, has he opened up his no trade clause? And they're like, not to our knowledge. Like, I don't think the guy's opened his no trade clause. That's a pretty important piece of information. So Carolina, even I think to wrangle him, Carolina would have to get him to commit, you know, to that franchise. And I think that Houston would take it right up to the deadline, trying to squeeze as much as possible out of Carolina in every creative way they could think of. I mean, I would even say, look, if Houston's got players that they want to dump, they might even try to attach those guys because they're in dump mode. They're trying to get rid of, like, salary off their roster. And I could see, knowing how Houston has operated since Nick Caserio got there, I could see Houston going, okay, he's waived his no-trade clause to you guys, but guess what? We got a couple other things we want to attach, and we'd love to get rid of this salary or that salary. And now you got Carolina sitting there going, okay, we've already kicked in the fifth-year option of Sam Darnold. That's fully guaranteed. That's roughly $18.9 million. Now we're adding $35 million in base and Deshaun Watson. That's like $54 million in quarterback stack salary. How do you do that? Like, I mean, seriously. And by the way, Carolina, this is 100% the owner who's driving this interest. I mean, if you're the coach or the general manager, I think you just look at the owner and go, how do we add $54 million? Like or another $35 in the quarterback position. We can't get rid of Sam's salary. Do we strap another pick to Sam a la, you know, Jared Goff, Brock Osweiler, and try to get some team to import his salary, take it off our books for a draft pick? And even in that situation, we end up paying a portion of it. It's, I don't know, man. Carolina's interest is interesting, and I get it, but it's also very owner-driven, and it seems chaotic and a little bit precarious given what they would have to give up. But that's what Houston has. Here's this team we don't want to send them to, and then here's this other team that's in it because the owner wants a franchise quarterback, but they have a whole set of problems that would come with this trade.
Chaotic and precarious. Those are good words. Better than my word of dumb. Those are good words.
Look, if you're David Tepper though, you're sitting there and you're going, okay, and this really signals how aggressive he is as an owner. He saw Bridgewater for a year and was like, nope, not happening. Like, that's not the right guy. Let's go ahead and scoot him out. They go and they get Sam Darnold and. The interesting thing about Tepper is he has a home near the Jets practice facility. So I almost wonder, like, how much he had read about Sam Darnold, knew about Sam Darnold. And then then they go and get Sam Darnold. Looks great for a bit, but then all of a sudden you're like, hey, CMC's out of lineup, offensive line, now he's starting to get hit a lot. Now we're starting to see some of the things with the Jets that we didn't like. And I think, once again, you have Tepper going, I don't know. I don't think this guy. So let's see if we can get someone else in here, you know. And another thing about Tepper, of all the teams other than Miami that were as aggressive and in this from the start, Carolina, 100%. Carolina made an offer for Deshaun Watson in January before all the off-the-field stuff happened, and Houston wasn't hearing it. So David Tepper, man, he's if you want an owner that is going to be super involved and really pushing it, that's your guy.
I just hope Dolphins Twitter has apologized to you. I'm assuming they have. Your mentions is full of apologies. Yeah, from your August report that was dunked on.
It's funny, I got a lot of, like, journalists who are like, you part of this in August, right? Like, people are like, it feels like they're reading your tweets, and I'm like, yeah. It's you know, they're like, you gonna say anything? I'm like, no. I'm like, there's no upside. You can't. If you go out and you point out, like, hey, I tweeted all this stuff out and you guys killed me. I mean, if you go read that thread, it's unbelievable how much I got killed on this. But if you then go out and point that out, you know, you're just, oh, it's petty, and you're just your ego, and, you know, nobody wants to hear it. And then they come up with a bunch of mental gymnastics for why you're still wrong. I know, I noticed that.
I'm giving you a platform.
We'll say it for you.
You're being very humble, though, so good job.
You saw you used your platform to point out that, which is fine. I mean, I'm, but you know how it is, man. You can't, there's no winning that. You just do what you do and you move on, and it stinks. But it's funny, Jeff Darlington hit me up, and Jeff had spent an entire season telling New England fans that Tom Brady was going to leave, and that one thread that I had on Miami, it was like Jeff endured that thing like all year. It was a constant flow of, yeah, this guy's thinking of leaving. Like, he's probably going to leave. Like, he's thinking of leaving. And they're killing him. Then he leaves. Jeff's like, where is everybody? So he's like, yeah, I understand this, man. I totally get this.
Right. That's right. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. Charles, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
I appreciate it. And congratulations to Titans fans. This is awesome to see this turnaround.
Yeah. Hey, really. Charles, beat the daily, baby. Beat the daily.
Yeah.
We're going to do it this year.
Not like your friend of like 24, 25 years hitting you up and going, hey, you know those pictures from back in 98? Shoot those over to me. Like,
there's some awesome pictures of us playing the Michigan daily in the 90s that I thought
Charles I've heard.
Had. Yeah. Now we'll find them.
I mean, I just don't have those things at my like fingertips. I'm like, I've got those on my phone. Hang on.
How the heck can those not be hanging in your house?
Those are in my drawer right now. Let me go get them.
I will look for those, I promise you.
All right, yeah, you're not very busy. Yeah, do that, will you?
All right, guys.
Thanks, Charles. We appreciate it. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports joins us every week here on Robbie and Rex Road at 9 o'clock on Tuesdays. We'll come back. We'll react to what Charles had to say there. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Current deals include half off of gift cards for Retro Snow, Fat Cat Slim's, Central Barbecue, Joyland in East Nashville, and Bad Axe Throwing Nashville. Get your deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Thanks to Charles Robinson for joining us in the last segment. We'll be joined by Preds TV analyst Chris Mason coming up here in about 6 minutes or so. So looking forward to that conversation with C-Mace. Got some Predators tickets to give away a little bit later this hour as well to see the Preds take on the Sharks tonight at Bridgestone Arena, an exclusive ESPN Plus game tonight, by the way, as well. So make sure you keep that in mind tonight as the Predators take on the Sharks. It is interesting, and we did this a little bit earlier in the show, listening to Charles try to navigate through the contenders in the AFC and who has a legitimate chance to win the conference. I think there's a lot of different ways you can take it, and I think he's right. That's what makes this year so much fun. This has been a phenomenal year of NFL football so far. It's been a lot of fun to watch, and it feels like there's going to be some pretty intriguing races coming down the stretch here. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I'm looking at Stephen A. Oh, my gosh. Stephen A is doing his top five NFL teams. He's got the Cowboys third.
Yeah.
Holy. Wait.
Keyshawn Johnson had him at number one. They didn't even play this last week. That's good stuff.
My goodness. Oh, they are impressive. And I agree with Charles on the Raiders. I kind of thought the same thing. Like the Raiders. I mean, his top two are going to be Bills and Bucks in some order, right?
I mean, you don't have the Cardinals who are undefeated in your top five?
Oh, gosh, you're right. What the heck are you doing, Stephen A? I agree on the Raiders that, he doesn't have the Bills in his top five. Okay. That I thought that they might totally fall apart off this Gruden stuff, and it seems to be having a galvanizing effect. I still don't know that I buy them overall as a team.
Yep.
We'll see. We talked about it earlier. Their schedule is about to get real interesting. But, yeah, I mean, the entire – I think most people would agree that the Bills so Stephen A, there's one guy, so he has all NFC teams as his top five. So he has nobody in the AFC in his top five. I would say that most people would probably put the Bills right now as the top team in the AFC. But
probably.
The Titans, I think, kind of showed people that, you know, they're certainly not invincible.
Sure.
I think the invincibility perception came from them trucking the Chiefs, which now looks less and less impressive.
It does.
It all adds up to just a really wide open conference.
Look, I think you can make a solid argument right now if you're a Titans fan that the Titans belong ahead of the Bills. I mean, you just dominated the Chiefs in the same way they did, and you beat the Bills straight up. I mean, I can certainly listen to that argument. I don't think that's crazy. You know, it is interesting. Like, I think we're about to find out a little bit more about the Bills. I mean, we've gone through their schedule before the Titans game. It was not overly impressive up until that point in terms of their quality of competition. We're going to find out a little bit more as they move ahead here. I think the Bills and the Bucks play each other this year, don't they?
They do.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good one.
That will be good. You know, I saw some.
They got the Dolphins this week, so that'll be good.
Oh,
Dolphins,
nice.
And Jags and Jets back to back to back. So maybe we're not about to find out any more about the Bills.
So they're going to be 7-2, and then it's Colts, Saints. There's Bucks later, but yeah, I mean, look, you look at their schedule.
It's kind of soft.
If you're the Titans, and obviously you can match their record, then you get the one. But it might not be easy. I mean, their schedule is, God, it's comically
soft.
Bad. I mean, where in the schedule? I mean, at New Orleans, okay, at Tampa Bay. You know, could the Patriots game be interesting by the time
No.
they go there? Probably not. Could the Colts game be interesting at home? Maybe. Boy, I don't know that I see more than a loss or two. So if you're the Titans and you're thinking about the one seed, first of all, don't lose this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you have to split the next two, and then you got to go on a tear.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's about winning the AFC South, and it may be about having to go through Buffalo to get where you want to go.
Let's very quickly go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, what's up?
Hey, buddy. Yeah, I usually don't call you guys whenever I'm happy about things. and I've been happy, but I got a ritual, man. It's been since, I don't know, probably 20 years. It used to be newspaper, now it's internet. I go and I look at the power rankings on Tuesday morning and see where my Titans are, read what everybody's got to say. Well, I did that this morning. Everybody's kind of got us teetering in that, like, 6 to 9 to 10 range. I've got a problem with Sports Illustrated, and I don't know if you guys read them, or they're awful. They had the Kansas City Chiefs at 10 and the Titans at 11. You could see in the same screenshot that the Chiefs lost to us by 24 points and that we beat the Chiefs by 24 points, 5-2 against 3-4. It just makes me so mad. It's stupid. Like, I copied it. I put it up all over Facebook. Even Chiefs fans are jumping in going, okay, I don't get this. So I don't understand what Sports Illustrated is doing. Like, why do they like to crap on us so bad?
Ah, thanks for the call, Adam. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Well, see, like, one head-to-head result. So, again, if you want to go transitive, the Jets are ahead of the Titans, right? But and even trucking the Chiefs like that, I could buy putting them at if they weren't 3-4 and really struggling.
Yeah.
Like, no. No.
It's not good.
I just, by the way, I did my rankings today for The Athletic, and I had the Titans 5.
There you go.
So
top
that's,
5.
That's the highest I've had them this year. And that's probably higher than most people have them.
Join stars for this year's Cherish the Night Unplugged event on Wednesday, November 3rd at Marathon Music Works. This year's lineup is incredible, featuring Gordon Kennedy, Charles Esten, and Danny Flowers, with a special presentation of the Troy Gentry Compassion Award to the Young Fables. To learn more and to register, go to starsnashville.com. We'll come back. We'll be joined by Preds TV analyst Chris Mason. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Now with two locations in Murfreesboro, visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend, Preds TV analyst, Chris Mason. C. Mace, what's going on? How are we doing?
We're doing great. What's going on with you guys?
Not much. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, C. Mace, obviously the offense a little bit more involved for the Predators over the weekend. A tough loss in Winnipeg on Saturday. Big win on Sunday against Minnesota. How encouraged were you by what you saw offensively from this group over the weekend?
I think it was great. I mean, I think obviously the Winnipeg game, I think, defensively, I didn't think they were sharp. That was maybe their only game, I think, where I would say they didn't play strong defensively, but they were able to generate offense. And I think when you're a team looking for, kind of how you want to play and to figure out the balance of, getting on the attack and also defending, I thought they, obviously the next night in Minnesota, I thought they did an excellent job of kind of figuring out that balance, continuing to generate chances against a team that was 4-0 and been playing very well and putting up a lot of goals. I thought they did a really good job of kind of cleaning up the mistakes they made against Winnipeg. You know, Winnipeg's not the team that you want to go toe-to-toe and try to start trading chances with. But I thought they did a great job against Minnesota. So that's a really good sign. And I think, you know, you see the power play continue to click. I thought that was another real bright spot on this trip. The second unit, scored two goals in the first game against Winnipeg. And then, you know, the first unit with Johansson and Duchesne and all those guys scored two goals there against Minnesota in the first period. So I thought that was really encouraging. A lot of things to like, and even more so that they were able to clean up, the defensive deficiencies after that first game in Winnipeg.
So, Chris, Connor Ingram, obviously it's been, a real tough year for him, a pretty inspirational moment for him the other night. My question for you is, what do you think, now that he has come to this point, what do you think his future could be in this league?
Well, I mean, you nailed it, Joe. I think, you know, when you watch sports, it's the best thing about it is you're cheering for people. Obviously, you're cheering for a team, but ultimately, you know, you love stories like that where somebody comes out on top, and, you know, everyone's got their own battles to fight. And he's been his tweet was pretty awesome after the game about, you know, it's amazing what happens when you ask for help, right? So I thought that was just awesome for him. For that night. But this is, again, it's been a journey for him. It's something that, you know, he's dreamed of his whole entire life, and he's been a prospect, and he's had some problems. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, when those things happen in an athlete's life, they just tend to fade off, and they don't get another chance or an opportunity, because there's always someone looking to fill that spot. But he battled back and he had a great game. I know they're really high on him. He's a good kid. Ben Vanderklok loves him, and I think to your point, he has a future here, and he's been in the plans for when they traded for him. So, you know, Riddick's on a one-year deal, and, you know, I mean, you never know what's going to happen, you know, this season or beyond, but I definitely think he's a guy that's in their plans, you know, as being a backup for Saros one day, especially if he continues on the path he is now.
See, Mace, what have you made of Johansson so far this season? Obviously a big night the other night on the score sheet in Minnesota, but overall, through the first six games, what have you thought of number 92 for the Predators?
I've liked him. I mean, you know, I think with that line, what it was before with Johansson, Duchesne, and Forsberg, really liked him at the start. I thought they're, you know, really playing well. You know, they weren't putting up a ton of points at the start, and then there's a, you know, kind of a period where they kind of faded away, and then, you know, Hines split him up, and then, you know, he's just, when he gives you what he has to give, I love his game. He's big, he's assertive. I feel he's shooting more, he's attacking the net, there's less hesitation, he's not always looking to make that extra pass. You know, we know he's a playmaker, and I think you guys have probably talked about this a lot, and we do on the broadcast, and I'm sure the fans do, is you want him to shoot. Guy's got a good shot. When you get in those areas, shoot the puck, right? Things will happen, and I think he's starting to get that. So I've liked what I've seen. I think, you know, the thing for him is that I like about his game is even when he's not putting up points, he's defending well. He defends hard, and he's a big body back there, and he's responsible. So, you know, if you're not going to contribute on the one end of the ice, or, you know, obviously they're going to get every team's best checking line, every single game, right? That's the line that they're going to shut down. Maybe now that they moved it around, it'll have to be spread out. But so if you're going to go toe-to-toe with the top line, or you're getting the best checking line, you have to defend. And I think that's what Hines wants out of those guys. And I think Johansson's done a great job of that. It's still early. So, you know, I mean, one off game is not a big concern to me. But for the most part, I've been really happy with Ryan Johansson. I think it seems like he's really embraced being a leader on this team.
Couple young guys we were talking about earlier on the show, C-Mace, with different kinds of starts. Just wanted to get your thoughts on both. Eli Tolvanen had that goal in the first game. Haven't seen a ton from him since then. And then Dante Fabro seems like he really has had a good offseason and has taken it to the early parts of the season. What about both of those guys?
Yeah, Tolvanen's, you know, he's a guy, he's shooting the puck. Like, he's a shooter. He's killing the shots per game that he had last year. So, I mean, that's a good sign. He's a little snake bitten. I think he can be a little harder in his game. I feel like last year he had, more jam, if you will. He was getting in, and he's a little more feisty. And obviously got hurt last game. But I feel like that was kind of the only thing really missing from his game. He wasn't not going to hurt you defensively. He's strong defensively. He's obviously bought into the system and understands, you know, how to defend in the National Hockey League now. Love the fact that he's shooting. He's just, you know, it's eventually, you know, it tells the analytics part of it. If you continue to shoot at that rate, pucks are going to go in. So I love that. I would just like to see maybe a little more fire from him. But Dante Fabro, I thought, you know, first game, and this is a throwaway game for me every year. The first game, there's just nerves, and you're playing with a new partner and this and that. Anything could happen. You could have a great game or a bad game as an individual or a team, and I don't put too much stock into that. But since then, I think he's been absolutely fantastic. And what I love about his game is it's easy to say, well, you're playing with Roman Josi, and anybody can play with Roman Josi. And while there's some truth to that, the thing that Fabro's done really well is when he gets the puck, he's not just distributing it to Josi and say, here you go, buddy, I'll just cover your butt while you go and do your thing. He's joining the play. He's making plays. He's skating with the puck. So when you have a partner for Josi that's able to do that and jump in the play, it makes coverage issues because you can't just focus on Josi and just say, all right, let's watch number 59 here. We don't have to worry about the other side. Well, the way Fabs is playing is you got to worry about both guys now. And I think that's a huge benefit to the team. And as you guys know, every sport you cover, what does everybody say? Confidence is everything. And I think he's, you know, had a great offseason. He's come in determined, you know, to get back into that top four. He's done that. And now he doesn't want to let it go. And that's what it looks like to me. You know, he's battling in front of the net. Lovey's in there after scrums. You know, there's a fire to his game. And he looks like he's very determined this year to come back and solidify a top four spot. So I love his game right now.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. Joins us every Tuesday morning at 9:30. See, Mace, I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for taking time to join us.
Thanks, boys. Have a great week.
Absolutely. You as well. Thanks, Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, our guest. Remember, the game tonight exclusively on ESPN+, a 7:30 puck drop tonight for the Preds and the Sharks. So a little bit later of a puck drop tonight, but exclusively on ESPN+. We'll come back. We'll be having Preds Pick the Click coming up next. So be caller number one, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 for your opportunity to guess the goal score for the Nashville Predators against the Sharks. We will do that coming up next. Make sure you join Stars for this year's Cherish the Night Unplugged event on Wednesday, November 3rd at Marathon Music Works. This year's lineup is incredible, featuring Gordon Kennedy, Charles Esten, and Danny Flowers with a special presentation of the Troy Gentry Compassion Award to the Young Fables. To learn more and to register, go to starsnashville.org. And also, make sure you don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Corner Pub downtown this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jarrett Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Corner Pub downtown at 151 Fifth Avenue North. Prior to the Titans taking on the Colts, the NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Preds in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena against the San Jose Sharks, exclusively on ESPN+. Game starting at 7:30 tonight, so make sure you keep that in mind. Right now, the standings are this. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrow with one correct answer. The listeners and Michelle Knezovic not on the board yet. Still very, very early in the competition for Preds Pick to Click. And with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, Ross from Nashville. Ross, what's going on?
Hey, how are you?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to calling in. Ross, who is your pick to click tonight for the Predators against the Sharks?
Philip Forsberg. Going to put in the back of the net tonight.
Philip Forsberg, the selection. Ross, we appreciate you taking time to call in.
Absolutely.
So, Ross going with Forsberg, a very popular selection as the first pick.
Dang it,
and Preds
Ross.
Picked the click.
Ross had a switch. He told me Roman Josi on the phone.
He changed it up.
Wait a minute. Right. So, wait. Doesn't that mean that he picked Josi?
No.
No?
No.
This is the official. Joe's like, okay, yeah.
Changed it up. All right, so Ross going with Philip Forsberg. Michelle Knezovic, you are up first today among us. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Okay. So, I think I'm going to go with Ryan Johansson again.
Johansson.
I have a feeling, you know, and if he doesn't score tonight, then I think I need to jump ship.
Maybe so. But he did score over the weekend.
I know, of course, right?
He scores when you don't pick him.
Sir. Okay, Joe, we got it.
We'll see.
Joe Rexroad, your pick to click tonight for the Preds and the Sharks.
So you can go with someone who's on a roll.
Yep.
Or you can go with someone who badly needs one or just something in between. I'm going to go with the badly needs one angle. Okay. Ellie Tolvanen.
Okay. We'll see if he's in the lineup. He may be hurt. So we'll see what happens on that front.
Dun, dun, dun.
We don't know yet. What's the percentage chance in your mind that he's going to be in?
I have no idea. They haven't said anything yet. I have no clue. So it's a calculated risk.
It's a calculated risk along with, yeah, it's fine. Whatever. Tolvanen.
Just rolling with it. All right.
Yarncroke. Just give me Yarncroke.
Give me Roman Josi. He's on a heater right now, 4 points in the last game. I think Josi finds his way onto the board again. That would give him 4 goals in 7 games. As a defenseman, be pretty good.
Yeah,
I'll take the captain.
Yeah, the odds aren't good that it keeps going like that, but go for it.
I'm going for it. Yeah. Give me the captain. Right. Roman Josi, the selection. That is Preds pick to click. Good luck. Need to start to hit on some of these on these competitions. See if I can get off. If I get one more, I've already tied my total from last year. So feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah. No, you're much better start for you.
That's right.
Doing well in fantasy football.
Yeah.
Doing well in Pigskin Pick'em.
Yeah, you're on the come up.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We got a pair of tickets to give away to see Daughtry at the Ryman Auditorium on Wednesday, November the 3rd. Be caller number 3 right now, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And if you're caller number 3, you'll win a pair of tickets to see Daughtry at the Ryman Auditorium on Wednesday, November the 3rd. So 615-737-1025.
Daughtry any good? I don't know. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've heard a lot of people. Yeah. What kind of music is it?
Alternative.
Yeah, it's like alternative rock. Yeah.
Okay.
I think he was an American Idol guy. I think his name is Chris Daughtry.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I used to love that show.
Just changed to Daughtry.
Daughtry. Hey, man. Do what you got to do.
I watched the year that Ruben and Clay went against each other.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
American Idol used to be really good. I haven't watched it in a long time, so I couldn't tell you if it is.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, Simon. Randy.
Randy. Paula. And Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, that's right. Wow.
They used to focus more on the just horrible singers, which I found to be rather enjoying.
Like at the beginning of the process.
Yeah, the beginning. Right. Like, it was awesome. Yeah. And I thought it was hilarious. You know, this is pre-YouTube, like pre all these things. So, yeah.
So, wait, why does that matter? Because now it goes you can up find there people instantly, singing.
Well,
saying?
Yeah, you can like find
yeah
people singing awfully on YouTube if you want to.
Oh, I see.
Like, it's so very it's easy more to go
of,
find.
Yeah, there's more of it available. We've saturated the market with awful singing.
Yes, we have. Hey, sometimes that's what happens.
You can find Creed videos on YouTube, too, if you'd like.
Oh, we had somebody text in about Creed earlier. Said they heard some this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Pretty good weekend, if you ask me.
Yeah. Part of a complete weekend. Elijah played the Creed for the Rex Rant yesterday.
Oh, yes. It's good stuff.
Good job, Elijah.
Good choice. He literally made my ears bleed with that.
That's right. Oh, man.
But not really. He figuratively. No one ever uses the word figuratively.
But literally.
Yeah, just say literally for everything. It's not special anymore.
Dennis texting in. The first time you read the promo for Daughtry, I thought it was a band named Dog Tree. So that would be an interesting band title.
Lift that leg and pop in the CD.
That's right.
Yo.
Sorry.
Very well done by you.
Dog Tree.
Yeah. That's your creative over there.
Yes. All right, we've got one more pair of Preds tickets to give away. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Name me the team that Pekka scored his only career goal against. Name me the team that Pekka scored his only career goal against. If you get it right, you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Predators against the Sharks tonight at Bridgestone Arena. The first correct answer will win those tickets. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's got to be a text, 615-737-1025, exclusively on ESPN Plus tonight. So interested to see how the Predators respond tonight. A big win on Sunday. Can they keep it going? Got to generate some momentum coming up here at home. Be interested to see if they could do that.
Yeah, take some of that offensive flow, bring it into this building. Need to have success in your own building.
Need to have success in your own building. It's a big week. We've got some Preds games coming up. Barry Trotz returning to town on Saturday for a little afternoon matchup with the Islanders. Obviously, the Titans and the Colts this week as well. We'll have a lot to get to on that front. So, going to be a busy week here on the program. Looking forward to it. That's all for us today. We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow for Robbie and Rexrode. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.